Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Well, that's Tory Chair Nadeem Zahawi's defence blown out of the water. After spending ages saying, oh, my tax affairs are all in order, it's fine, don't look at me, nothing to see here, if you keep digging, I'll sue you. That's the potted history of Nadeem Zahawi and tax. He had to fess up that he'd paid a penalty of 30%, applied to £3.7 million, just casually lying around, that he was expected to pay by his Majesty's Revenue and Customs. Forgot, we've got a king, haven't we? So I need to get that correct. Don't want to be sent to London Tower along with Nadeem Zahawi. Anyway, his argument was it was a careless but deliberate error. Unfortunately, that's been blown out of the water by Jim Harrer, a guy who should know because he's in charge of His Majesty's Revenue and Customs. Let's just hear what Jim Harrer had to say.
And I'll move over to Sarah Olney, MP.
Thank you very much, Chair. Mr. Harrer, I was just wondering, what does HMRC understand, or what does it mean to imply when it uses the word carelessness, that someone has been careless with their tax return, and what should the general public understand by the use of that term?
So, I'm not commenting on any particular person's affairs, but carelessness is a concept in tax law. It can be relevant to how many back years that we can assess, and it can be relevant to whether someone is liable to a penalty, and if so, what penalty they would be liable to for an error in their tax affairs. There are no penalties for innocent errors in your tax affairs.
Yeah, you can sort of get the gist there. Nadeem Zahawi's defence is nonsense. You wouldn't have to pay a penalty for an innocent error like that. Again, I think we need to just be very clear again. I keep saying this, tax avoidance, tax evasion, not the same thing. Can't sue me for this, Nadeem. Just saying, don't send me a legal letter like you sent The Independent and various other people. No one's accusing them of doing something illegal. It's the issue of legal tax avoidance where the wealthy, because only they can hire the sorts of accountants who can do this, a sole trader who's making 25 grand a year, they can't do that because they can't hire an accountant to fiddle around looking for loopholes. It's a way of avoiding tax legally. It's a way of finding ways of not paying tax that the tax authorities would have intended you to pay because you've managed to find some technicality to not pay that tax, to reduce your tax bill. Now, it's really important we just be clear about that, what tax avoidance is, because some people then, I've had this before with right-wing trolls on television, just be honest about it, they are, these particular ones are trollish. An ISA, that's tax avoidance. No, it isn't. An ISA has been intentionally set up by the law in order to facilitate savings, therefore reducing your tax take burden even. That's the point of it. It's not something where you've gone against what the authorities wanted you to do. If you've had a penalty applied to you, as the head of HMRC said, that wasn't some innocent error. Doesn't mean it's illegal. But I'm going to come on to that. This issue, isn't it, of law morality? Not the same thing. Not if you get a Venn diagram, those circles are not one and the same. For the reason that some laws are immoral throughout history, our ancestors have had to fight some terrible laws in order, for example, to win the right for women to vote, to win LGBTQ rights, to win workers' rights. And across the world, slavery was legal once. So that's, the law isn't morality. And neither is, again, just because something is, something happens to be legal doesn't mean it's morally correct. As in, if you do something like Nadeem Zahawi, where it's within the boundaries of the law, it doesn't mean that his behaviour is, of course, moral. Now, the point is, for me, and this comes back to the nature of class society, the class system, which defines our existence in this country, where the law facilitates bad behaviour by the rich, but cracks down on the misdemeanours of the poor. So, even though Benefit Fraud costs the economy far less than with those who avoid tax, it's far more likely to be clamped down on. In fact, the statistics are you're 23 times more likely to be prosecuted for Benefit Fraud Even though tax crimes cost the economy 9 times more. I'm not saying Adam Zahawi's committed a tax crime, but the point is that rich people can, and they do every year, avoid paying billions of pounds in tax. And this is why I think we need to understand or redefine what we understand by crime. Or we shouldn't use crime, because crime is just, is it against the law? Which I don't think is a particularly useful metric. I think a far more useful metric is social harm. How much damage is this doing to wider society? So obviously crimes and social harms often do overlap. If someone beats people up in the street, they're committing a social harm. That's also illegal. You're not legally allowed to do that. If you're avoiding tax on an industrial scale, then it's technically legal. Well, that's still a social harm, isn't it? Because you're avoiding paying tax that the authorities expected you to pay, and therefore there's less money in the exchequer, which could be spent on various things. Do you see what I mean? So this is why it comes down to the injustice of the law, because we have this so-called war on drugs, for example. You probably think I'm going on a tangent. I'm not. Because what you get there is the state cracks down like a ton of bricks in a very racist way, because it's disproportionately black people, young black men, who are criminalised under the war on drugs. Many cabinet ministers, Tory and Labour politicians, have taken drugs. They've not been criminalised. Disproportionately young black men have, with life-defining consequences often. Now, do I think there is a social harm being committed by some guy having some weed or some cocaine in his pocket? No. I mean, some people might go, well, actually, if you look at the drug industry and how terrible it is, and actually the terrible horrors and crimes and all the rest of it. Yeah, well, that's a problem with the government having handed voluntarily the entire drug industry as a lucrative revenue earner for criminal gangs. They decided to do that. That's what the war on drugs does. That's what they did in Prohibition as well in America. They went, hey, criminal gangs, would you like alcohol to be under your monopoly control? Because we're going to ban it from the legal domain. And then the criminal gangs of America went, great, yes, please, we'll take that. And what happened is huge numbers of people died of alcohol poisoning when they were brewing impure alcohol in their baths. They went to illegal places, speakeasies, and you got a massive crime wave in the United States. Same thing's happened with Prohibition of drugs, of course. Again, we don't judge social harms properly, do we? Because there's a social harm being committed by the war on drugs, locking up disproportionately young black men, whilst rich white politicians get away with it, who clamp down on those young black men, of course. And you get a criminal industry, which is committing vast social harms, and people take impure substances because we can't regulate the substances that are sold. So again, you know, again, we just need to understand or redefine what we understand as what is bad. What is bad as a social harm? A social harm is committed if you avoid tax. A social harm is, you could argue, being committed by benefit for, but just much, much less, because it costs the exchequer far less. And also we're talking about misdemeanors by poor people who don't have very much. You know, do you really begrudge a poor person who's struggling to make ends meet for getting some cash in hand compared to a very, very rich person who, if they avoid tax or not, is still very rich? Do you see what I mean? Social harm. That's what we need to think of. And in the case of Adam Zahawi, he's taking the mick, because clearly, what, it's legal, fine, but it is a social harm. And even the HMRC has judged this because they've applied a penalty. This was meandering. I'm in a bit of a rush, but I did want to talk about the nature of what we understand as crime, social harm, and why that means the definition of crime at the moment clamps down on disproportionately poor people whilst allows rich people to get slaps on the wrist, relatively speaking. Does that make sense? I hope so. Please like, subscribe. I'll see you next time.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.